Do you believe the words that you've just heard? People need the Lord. Let's bow our hearts in a moment's prayer. Our God and our Father, we pray this morning that the truth of what we have just heard may disturb the hearts of everyone gathered in thy presence this morning. Father, if there are any in this meeting this morning who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that through thy word they may come to know that they need the Lord. And Father, for we who profess thy name, we ask that by thy grace we might give ourselves, for people need the Lord. We pray that you would guide and direct in everything that is said and done in this meeting to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He might be exalted. Amen. It's good to be back with you again. I'd like you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 12. The book of Isaiah chapter 12. We're going to read all 6 verses. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. I was glad to hear that on Wednesday evening you're dealing with assembly distinctives. I believe it's essential that the people of God know what they believe and why they believe it. That is the burden that is on my heart, not only today, but during the visits that I will make with you in the year 1995, not to deal with assembly distinctives, but to deal with the great truths of the gospel, of salvation. In Isaiah chapter 12, our texts for the year will be verses 2 and 3. Let me read them to you again. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Isaiah chapter 12 is a song of praise. And let me say this to you from the very outset. If you're saved, then you should be able to sing this song of praise. This should be the echo. This should be the outpouring of your heart to the Lord. Isaiah chapter 11, the background to this wonderful passage, contains two great truths. Right at the very beginning and right at the very end of the chapter, we hear of God's salvation. Verse 16 of chapter 11 says, "And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt." I want you to know that we'll be talking today about the God who delivered Israel out of the land of Egypt, and how that is just a prefiguring, a shadow of what God has done in salvation today. But right at the beginning of chapter 11 and verses 1 and 2, it says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." That's not speaking about Israel being delivered. That's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be looking at the great doctrine of salvation, and I want to remind you again from the outset that the Bible doctrine of salvation stands in a person. I've said this many times. I'm going to say it again to you this morning. I am amazed how many people, when I begin to talk to them about the Lord, tell me what denomination they are. You begin to talk to them about the Lord and they say, "Well, I'm Presbyterian," or "I'm Methodist," or "I'm something else." And I've even had some from our assemblies do the same thing. We're not going to be talking about denominations. We're not going to be talking about religious beliefs or religious practices. We're going to be talking about a person. God manifest in the flesh. Brother, when he was praying, he quoted that lovely verse from Peter's sermon, "Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." Isaiah says, "The Lord, Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." Look with me, if you will, at the people to whom these verses apply. Verse 1, it says, "In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me." The people to whom these verses apply are a people who had known the anger of God. I remember preaching in the city of Liverpool in a church right down in the center of Liverpool. Place was packed, there must have been 400 or 500 in the congregation, and I preached on the anger of God. Standing at the door, and a dear lady came as she was shaking my hand. She said, "Son, you need to go home and study the love of God. For God is a God of love, he's not a God of anger." And I looked at her graciously and said, "Thank you, dear. But if God is not a God of anger, why is there a place called hell?" Why does God give warning after warning after warning that those who do not receive His Son will perish? Let me ask you, is part of your experience of God knowing the anger of God? Coming to the realization that the God of heaven looks at you and your sin, and He's angry at your sin? Turn with me to Psalm 5. There is a mythical teaching amongst us today that God hates sin but loves the sinner. Now, that's a nice theory, but I'd like you to hear what God has to say about it. Psalm 5 and verse 4. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. God is angry at sin. And before you can ever be saved, before you can ever see the need of being saved, the Spirit of God must bring you to that place where you realize your position and your condition before God. But you realize that the God of heaven is angry at the workers of iniquity. It's not a well-liked subject in the days in which we live. The reason is that we don't want to see the God of the Bible or hear the God of the Bible. We want to have the God of our imagination. We want to have the God who is acceptable to us. My dear friends, the people who are able to say the Lord has become my salvation are a people who are able to say, Thou wast angry with me. It's not that God's angry at other sinners. It is that God was angry with me personally. It is that God's anger sat over me like a cloud. You've seen the cartoonist caption of the little person with the black cloud over his head, and for everyone else it was sunshine, but for that one individual there was a rain cloud over his head. Well, the Bible says in John chapter 3, and I want to remind you, it's the same John chapter 3 that says, For God so loved the world. 36th verse says, The wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God abideth on him. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. My dear friend, if you're in this meeting this morning and the anger of God has no part to play in your heart and in your life, let me tell you that it is by the anger of God that we come to see the need of being saved. But the people to whom this verse applies are not only a people who have experienced the anger of God, they are a people who have experienced the anger of God being turned away. Thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away. You know, beloved, I was up very early this morning and I was going over my message. And as I sat at the little table in my working kitchen, I began to cry. as I read those words. Thine anger is turned away. How was the anger of God turned away from a sinner like me? He took all his anger and he took all his wrath and he took all my sin and he laid it upon the person of his Son as his Son died upon a tree. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ was to enable God to turn his anger away from me that I might be saved. The death of the Son of God, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's how God's anger was turned away from me. And as I sat at the table this morning, I said, "Thank you, Lord, for dying for a wretch like me." You see, there was a time in my life when I was just like our sister sang about this morning, when I needed the Lord. When I was without Christ and without God and without hope in the world. And the anger of God and the wrath of God rested upon me. Not anymore. For the anger of God has been turned away, and I'm able to say, the Lord Jehovah is become my salvation. I want you to mark that little word, my. You know, it's so beautiful. The Lord has become my salvation. The old hymn writer grasped the meaning of it when he wrote the words, "Mine, mine, mine, I know thou art mine. Jesus, my Savior, I know thou art mine." I sit in the hospital with the saints of God and I read the 23rd Psalm to them and I say, "What's the most precious word?" Now they say, "The Lord is my shepherd." You see, if he's not my shepherd, then all the rest of the things the Psalm speaks about, they're not mine, because he's not mine. And if the Lord is not my salvation, then it's no comfort to my soul who else's salvation he is. It's no comfort to me that others can say he's mine if I cannot say it for myself. Isaiah is writing about a personal experience. He's not writing about the personal experience of joining a church. And he's not writing about the personal experience of coming to see Assembly Distinctives, important though they may be. He's writing about a time in his life when he came to a personal experience of God becoming his Savior. A personal experience of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the salvation of God. Not just words. I know a lot of people who know all the words about salvation and Christianity today. But the reality of knowing salvation in God. I was speaking to the teenagers at the Christian school the other day, and I told them that when I was in grade school in Northern Ireland, we used to learn our tables by what we call rote. You learned it by learning it quoting it time and time and time again, and the times tables would go to a little tune. And you would say, 2 1's 2, 2 2's 4, 2 3 6, 2 4's 8. And I told them about the little boy who came and stood one day, and the whole class were standing at the front, and teacher was just telling them, let me hear you 7 times, and one would go right through. La la la. Come to one little boy, and instead of saying his times tables, he went da 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 da. Teacher stopped him and said, son, what are you doing? He said, teacher, I learned the tune last night. I'm going to learn the words tonight. Some of us are the opposite to that. We've learned the words, but we haven't learned the reality of it. You see, Isaiah is writing about a people. And the Bible calls them a peculiar people. And that's a beautiful thing too, because that word means purchase. But there are people who have known the experience that God was angry at them. And they've known the experience that the anger of God has been turned away. And they've known by experience that God has become my salvation. My salvation. What does that word salvation mean? Well, you remember chapter 11 and verse 16, how the Lord delivered Israel out of Egypt. Got to say, first of all, it's salvation that stands in blood. The Lord said to the children of Israel, I'm going to take you out of Egypt. Choose yourself a lamb. Slay the lamb. Take the blood and make sure the blood is applied. So salvation is God delivering us by the shedding of blood. Salvation is God delivering us by the blood being shed and the blood being applied. Salvation means that you and I are delivered from the bondage of sin. You and I who are saved are delivered from the penalty of sin. I'm God's child this morning. Born into the family of God because God delivered me from the penalty of sin. When God looks at my account in heaven, there's not one sin there that would ever keep me out. When God looks at my account in heaven, the whole account has been settled. There's no wrath and judgment reserved for me for any sin that's recorded. Tell me, do you believe that this morning? You know what Paul says in Romans 8? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? What's the answer? It is God that justifieth. It's God that has delivered me from the penalty that was due to my sin. There's not one sin left to my charge. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again. Let me say to you this morning, this salvation's real. This is God removing from me all the anger and wrath and penalty of my sin. And let me tell you, my sins deserved wrath, and wrath eternally. But not only delivered from the penalty of sin, delivered from the power of sin. My beloved, I wish we could grasp this morning. Paul writes to the Romans, having told them what Jesus Christ has done for them, and he said, beloved, sin shall not have dominion over you. You're no longer going to yield yourself unto sin, but you should obey it in the lust thereof. But because of the victory that you have in Jesus Christ, you're going to yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Beloved, this is part of being saved. This is part of God becoming my salvation. It wasn't only that Israel was delivered from the place Egypt. Israel was delivered from all the practices that went on in Egypt. And the moment God brought them out by the shedding of blood, they began a brand new life. A life of fellowship and walking with God in obedience. You know, that's what it means when you can say the Lord is become my salvation. There was a time when I didn't know Him. There was a time when I didn't walk with Him. There was a time when I didn't obey Him. But thank God He has delivered me from the penalty of my sin. And thank God He has delivered me from the practice of my sin. There are many sins in this world that I cannot say I have never committed. But there are many sins in this world that I can say I do not commit them anymore, because Jesus Christ broke their power in my heart and in my life. Talked to a young man just the other day. He's not long come to our Christian school. We were at baseball practice. He had hurt his hand and he couldn't practice, and he and I got a little time to talk. And he looked me straight in the face and he said, "Joe, do you believe that Jesus Christ can really change a life like mine?" I don't know why not. He changed a life like mine. As a young man, 17 years old. And he looked at me with tears in his eyes and he said, "Joe, there's nothing you could tell me that I haven't done. No sin that I haven't committed." And I just looked at him and I said, "Son, there's no sin that Jesus can't break the power of. No sin that Jesus can't break the power of." You see, there was a time when this wasn't true in my life. But the Lord has become my salvation. I want you to look with me at the three names that Isaiah uses of God. He says in verse 2, God, he uses the word Elohim. And it's the one word that indicates God as being eternal. You know what he's saying? He's saying the eternal God has become my salvation, and that means my salvation is eternal. Oh, I remember the discussion that took place on the factory floor when Joe Gould came in and told them that he had trusted Christ. He said, one guy turns, he says, "I'll give him a week." Another guy says, "I'll give him till the Orange Parade in July." He'll not go to an Orange Parade and not do the things he used to do. And one young man spoke up and said, "God gave me eternal life. And my salvation stands in the person of God who is eternal, and that makes my salvation eternal." Oh, that we would grasp this. Some people would say, "Well, preacher, salvation's like a golden chain. And 9 of the links are God's links, and the other link is yours." Anybody ever bought their wife a golden chain and put a link of clay on it? I wouldn't do it. Because I know exactly where it's going to break if you do that. It's going to break at the link of clay. And God didn't say, Joe Gould, I'll do 9/10 of what's needed for you to be saved if you'll just muster up the strength and the goodness to do the other. I could never have done it. Could never have done it. And God could never have said, you got what you deserved. Because I could never have deserved salvation. Never could have. And God says, Joe Gould, I've prepared a chain of gold. And I've put on it a clasp of gold. And it's eternal. And even though you don't deserve it, and even though you couldn't buy it, and even though you could never earn it, the eternal God is going to give it to you. God is my salvation. And then he uses the word Yah, the word Lord, which is an abbreviated form of the word Jehovah. And that speaks of God as the all-powerful one. Now, I want you to grasp this. He says, first of all, God is my salvation, and he's the eternal one. My, that's great. But God is my salvation, and he's the almighty, all-powerful one. Let's go back to whether he can break the power of sin in a human heart or not. Is he all-powerful? Is he all-powerful? The problem is not God's power to break the sin. The problem is our desire to keep the sin. The problem is the desire to continue to do some of the things we used to do. Listen to what he says, the Lord has become my strength. I was sitting reading one day in Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh mine help. My help cometh from the Lord. And then it hit me. That's why David said, which made the heavens and the earth. My, if you're going to need someone to help you, you're going to need someone who can do the job, aren't you? You're going to need someone who can save you. You're going to need someone who's got the power to save you. David says, my help cometh from the Lord. And just in case you doubt his ability to help, he's the Lord that made the heavens and the earth. Isaiah says, the Lord has become my salvation, and he's the Lord. He's the all-powerful one. The all-powerful one. And then he says, the Lord Jehovah. And Jehovah speaks of God as the unchanging one. I want you to grasp this. My salvation is eternal because it's Elohim, the eternal one who is my Savior. My salvation is powerful because it's Yah, the all-powerful one. My heart is secure because it's Jehovah, the unchanging one. Sometimes I look at my children and I think, boy, you're hard to love sometimes. And I'm wise enough to know that sometimes my children look at me and say, boy, you're hard to love sometimes. And there may, I don't know, come a time when they will stop loving me. God forbid that it should happen. There may come a time when I would stop loving them. But there will never come a time when God stops loving. And there will never come a time when God stops loving me. Why? Because the God who is my Savior is the unchanging one. He's never, ever going to change. I listened to a little bit of what our brother Herb had to say at Sunday school today. And he spoke about those amazing words that says that God repented that he had made man. You know what I believe it means? It means not that he was sorry that he'd done it, but that he was sorry for what man had become. That man, who was created to bring joy to the heart of God, brought sorrow. My dear friends, I'm not going to ever tell you that there's not going to be a time when I will bring sorrow to the heart of my Father, my Savior. But I know there's never going to be a time when he's going to change his mind about saving a wretch like me. You see, he's the eternal God, and he's the all-powerful God, and he's the unchanging God. And Isaiah says, the Lord Jehovah has become my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Tell me, Christian, is your life a joy-filled life? Is your joy dependent on the salvation that God has given, or on the circumstances through which God takes you? This is a song of praise. Look what he says. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. I was preaching in one of our assemblies one night, and I made a statement, and somebody in the congregation shouted at the top of their voice, praise the Lord. And I thought, hey man, somebody's awake out there. You never feel like shouting praise the Lord. You never feel like lifting your heart and saying, Lord, your name be praised, because you're my salvation. People say to me, Joe, you're always singing. Yeah? I take time to tell them, if you had the Savior, you'd be singing too. Why? Because the Lord has not only taken the darkness out of my heart and life, he's not only taken the bondage out of my heart and life, he's given me a heart to praise him. David said it. He's lifted me up out of the miry clay. He's set my feet upon a rock. And he's what? He's put a new song in my mouth. My son came to me one day and he said, Daddy, why don't you listen to the music on the radio? And I said, because everybody's trying to bring out new songs. And I've got my new song. I've got my new song. I don't need to hear the message of this world when I have received the message of God. And the Bible tells me that when God became my salvation, he put a new song in my heart. You know the amazing thing, if you go over into the book of Revelation and God rolls back the clouds and lets you look into heaven itself, to see those that are gathered around the Lamb in the midst of the throne. You know what they're doing? They're singing a new song. It's a song of redemption. It's the song of the power of the blood that delivered them from the bondage of sin. Because you see, they're able to say, the Lord is my son. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you know the God of salvation? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Well, let me commend him to you. Let me commend him to you, for there is none other. There is none other. A young brother died in 1970. For years I battled with the Lord in my heart. And one night as I was praying, I felt the Lord saying to me, Joe, if your brother rejected my son, does he deserve that I should make him a special case and let him into heaven? And I said, no, Lord. Nobody who rejects your son deserves to be a special case and to be allowed into heaven. And that applies to you this morning. God says, listen, I have done everything that is needed for salvation, and we're going to look at that this evening. But if you reject my son, don't expect to be saved eternally. If you reject my son, one day I will condemn you to a Christless hell for all eternity. And if you're in the meeting this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, God is saying to you, you have another opportunity to come to Christ. You have another opportunity to escape the anger of God. You have another opportunity to know the anger of God turned away and the glorious joy of the Lord becoming your salvation. You're in this meeting this morning and you're not saved, my dear friend, don't leave without coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't take the chance that God will ever give you another opportunity. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Lord Jesus says, if you come right now, I'll save you right now. And then you'll be able to say, the Lord Jehovah has become my salvation. Bow our hearts in a moment's prayer. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for Calvary's cross. We thank Thee that there Thou didst provide a full and free salvation in the death of Thy Son. There it was made possible that Thine anger could be turned away from we who deserve Thy wrath and anger. Father, for we who are saved, oh, give us hearts to praise. Let our voices be raised not in complaint or murmuring, but in the singing of the praises of our God and King. Father, for any in this meeting this morning who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, help them to understand before they leave this place just how much they need the Lord. Glorify and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, in His lovely name.